Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Post Play In Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Ingles. And we just finished up the fifth game of the play-in tournament when the Pacers lost to the Wizards last night in Washington. Congratulations to Russell Westbrook, Bradley Beal, and all those guys. And they just played an outstanding game. The Pacers were just overwhelmed in the paint, and it shows how important Miles Turner is to that entire team. I mean, Robin Lopez seemed like the NBA MVP in that game. I mean, he was getting everything. Russell Westbrook was penetrating, and they could get inside it as much as they wanted, and then they were nailing it from outside. They shot 50% as a team from three, which is absolutely crazy. And there's not many times you're going to lose a game if you shoot 50% from three. But running down the stats for the Pacers, they were led in scoring by Domantas Sabonis and Malcolm Brogdon. Malcolm Brogdon had 24. Sabonis had 19 with 10 assists and 11 rebounds, so a triple-double for Domantas Sabonis. So he ended up playing a really solid game, but not enough in the long run. Rui Hachimura actually played a really good game for the Wizards. He was doing a lot of different stuff. He was hitting some shots. He was really good on offense, but actually was solid on defense as well. So Rui Hachimura ends up with 18 points. Excuse me. Russell Westbrook ends up with 18 points, 15 rebounds, and eight rebounds. So anyone that bet that Russell Westbrook was going to get a triple-double last night was a little upset he didn't get two more rebounds, because I know there was a big over-under push on that he was going to have a triple-double. Bradley Beal, with only one leg, ended up scoring 25 points, which was really impressive. I mean, there were times in that game it didn't even look like he could get up and down the court, and then he ends up with 25 points. So below his season average of 30, but still has a really good game. And then, I mean, just it seemed like everything they wanted to do as a team for the Wizards was working. I mean, they could get any shot they wanted. They could attack the paint. They could shut down the Pacers' offense, especially late in that second quarter. They really made that big run, and that just kind of ended it from there. And then they just turned on the gas and the Jets and just ran away with the game as the third and fourth quarter rolled on. I just couldn't even handle it. I mean, I'm a Pacers fan. I was just like, really? The Wizards are the best? Like, they're clapping us as much as we clapped Charlotte the other day? Are you serious? So, it was just a bad, bad game for the Pacers, and they shot very poorly from the field, 41%, 36% from three, which, I mean, those aren't terrible numbers. I mean, it could definitely be worse, but it's not good. And then, I mean, they had a better free throw percentage, but had fewer looks from the free throw line. The Wizards had 9 blocks, which really stands out to me, because they were just dominating inside, and it was really hard for the Pacers to get much. I mean, aside from Sabonis, they could not attack the interior. Malcolm Brogdon tried driving a couple times, and he would just keep getting rejected and keep getting heavily contested and could not get it. And here's the biggest statistic, okay? 100% the biggest statistic is right here, all right? Points in the paint, 72-40. They outscored the Indiana Pacers by 32 points in the paint. That is insane. For a offense that is centered around a big man in the Indiana Pacers, their offense is centered around shooting and then Domantas Sabonis. And a lot of their ball movement runs through him, and you only scored 40 points in the paint compared to 72. And again, that comes back to Miles Turner because of how great of a shot blocker Miles Turner is. Without Miles, this Indiana Pacers defense has been just horrendous all season. It's been one of the worst defenses when he doesn't play. And he hasn't played the last couple weeks. And in that game, they needed him desperately. I mean, they could. Domantas Sabonis is a great offensive player, but he's not that great on defense. His arms are too short to really get up and block shots like a Miles Turner can, who has massive arms, who will just get up and swat everything. And without him, it really just showed what all Indiana Pacers already know of how valuable of a player Miles Turner is to this team. I mean, most of the guys on this team already know that, but I think a nationally televised game like that really showed just how important of a player he is, not just to the Pacers, but really just the entire league, that without him, he has such a big impact. And I just think Miles Turner deserves a defensive player of the year. It's not going to happen this year, but this guy has been an incredible defender his entire career so far, an incredible shot blocker. And when the Pacers don't have him, their defense is terrible. They allowed 142 points. 142 in an NBA game. You're not going to win a game if you allow 142 points. Let's just say that. All right, moving on from the Pacers, though, because I don't want to spend too much time dogging on them. Pacers need to get lucky in the draft lottery if they want to have a nice future, in my opinion. Because I don't think they're going to move on from a lot. They might move on to a new coach, but I think they're going to keep a lot of their players. I don't think they're at the point where they want to trade every single person. So, since this is talking about the whole play-in tournament, let's move to the best game so far of the play-in, which was the Lakers and Warriors. I had a feeling, man. I really thought the Warriors were going to be able to pull out this game. Pull off the huge upset over the favorites to win the title. Also, when was the last time a 7 seed was the favorite to win the title? Because it's been a long time. I can't think of the last time that was the favorite. It was the 7 seed. Well, anyway. I really thought the Warriors were going to be able to get this one. I thought Steph Curry was going to have a huge game, and the Warriors were just going to do everything right, and that's what it was like for the first half. I mean, the Warriors' defense was incredible. Draymond Green just showed why he is thought of as such a good player, because I think the last couple of years people have just thought, oh, Draymond Green, he only gets 5 points a game, with a couple rebounds, and a few steals. Like, who cares? This guy is an average player, but he showed the entire league just how important of a player he is because of his incredible defense against a bigger player, Anthony Davis. And he just stayed on the entire game. Ended up playing 41 minutes in this entire game. 41! And along with Steph Curry. Steph Curry also ends up playing 41 minutes, which is just... Poor guy's only got 5 minutes to rest the entire game. So that is a lot of basketball. I mean, the Warriors in general only had 8 players play in this game. But Steph Curry ends up with 37 points, which was he was having a monster game. It seemed like he was hitting most of his shots after the first couple. He had a rough first quarter, but after that, it seemed like he was hitting everything. Andrew Wiggins. Now, a lot of people forget about Andrew Wiggins, that he's even on the Warriors. I mean, Andrew Wiggins was thought of as the next LeBron coming out of high school. I mean, he was the first overall pick. He was thought of like as this monster talent, and he just hasn't been able to put it all the way together yet. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be the next LeBron, because he's definitely not going to be. He's not as efficient of a player. He's not as strong. He's not as athletic. He's not as committed to the game. But he's still putting a really solid career together with the Warriors. He's improved all his efficiency. He's a really solid defender. I mean, we saw what happened when he was on LeBron. He really gave LeBron one of the toughest games he's had his entire career. I cannot remember a worse first half for LeBron James in my entire life. I mean, I'm sure there probably is one somewhere, but in a playoff game, I can't remember one. I mean, maybe in the 2011 series against the Mavericks, but aside from that, I can't think of a player or a time when he was less of a factor. And the Warriors' defense, I mean, that first half, it really seemed like, wow, the Warriors are actually going to beat the Lakers. That is crazy. And then the Lakers showed up. All right, Anthony Davis, Dennis Schroeder, and LeBron James had horrible numbers. They were awful in the first half. But there were a few Lakers who kept them in the game. I mean, Kyle Kuzma only had 6 points, but he actually was playing really solid defense. Alex Caruso ends up with 14 points. Alex Caruso was playing like a starting point guard. And he's a six-man. And he was playing great basketball, man. I mean, he was all over the place. He was getting steals. It seemed like he was hitting most of his jump shots. He only comes away with one missed shot the entire game. He was very efficient. Then finally, in the second half, the Lakers went with a different lineup. They took Andre Drummond out of the game, pretty much. They put Anthony Davis at the five, where he would post up and be the dominant big man that everyone knows he can be. But for some reason, he always thinks, oh, I'm going to face the player and just hit jump shots and stuff like that. If he would just post up more, he would be as dominant as Joel Embiid. Absolutely. But he doesn't do it. And they had him do it, and the Lakers dominated the fourth quarter. I mean, just that was theirs. It was theirs. I mean, the scoring totals for the fourth quarter were still pretty similar, but the Lakers just played so well in that fourth quarter. And they end up, tied at 100. with LeBron James catching it from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope with 2 seconds left on the shot clock, and he just nails a great shot. I mean, LeBron just, as soon as he caught it, I said out loud, I said that he's going to make that shot. He is making that shot 100%. And it left his hand, and it was money. And people are saying, like, oh, that was just a lucky shot. No, that was a good shot, man. I mean, if it was any other player than LeBron, people would hate him. I'm not the biggest LeBron fan. I'm not someone who's like, green. LeBron, GOAT, he's the GOAT. No, that's not the kind of fan I am. But that was a nice shot, man. And I can appreciate the fact that we are seeing one of the best NBA players of all time. Like, it's impressive. Like, this is a guy who has made the finals 9 times of the last 9 times he's been in the playoffs. He's been in the finals for the last 9 of the last 10 years. Just say that out loud. One player has been in the finals 9 of the last 10 years. That is absolutely insane to think about. I mean, that's crazy. 9 of the last 10 years. So that was a great shot from LeBron, and it sends the Lakers on to the Suns. So that's what I wanted to hit with the play-in, okay? But now, with the NBA playoffs where they're at right now, okay? We still got one more play-in game tonight. It's going to be Warriors-Grizzlies. In my opinion, I think the Warriors are going to come away with this one just because of Steph Curry. I mean, that's my reasoning. That doesn't mean the Memphis Grizzlies could not pull an upset here. I mean, they still have a really solid team. Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., Jonas Valanciunas. They still got some really good pieces on their team. And if they put together a nice game, they could totally win this one. I just don't see them having quite the same defensive capability as the Lakers. And I think the Warriors will pull up more points. And I think the Warriors will play great defense once again. And I think they'll bounce back and become the 8th seed to play the Utah Jazz in a series. And I think that'd be a really good series, honestly. Warriors-Utah, I mean, that's a good series. I mean, you got Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell against Draymond Green and Steph Curry. Now, obviously, Rudy Gobert is way taller than Draymond Green, but, well, I mean, we've seen what Draymond can do against a really dominant big man. So I think that'll be a really good series, and I'm excited for it, if that is what we end up getting. So now, with the playoffs right now, okay, with the Wizards taking on Philly, I got to go with Philly in that series. It doesn't mean Westbrook and Beal won't play great, and they could still win a game, but, like, you could put Ben Simmons on Russell Westbrook, and he's not going to be able to dominate like he normally did, play the same style that he normally does. I mean, he can't drive to the basket with a 6'10 guy in front of him, guarding him as one of the best defenders in the NBA. It's just not going to work, okay? And Russell Westbrook, when he shoots, is better for the other team, okay? Because he's a chucker some of the time. It doesn't mean he can't shoot. He's just not great at it. So he is the worst percentage of all volume three shooters in the entire NBA. So if you can get Russell Westbrook to shoot the ball, I mean, I think you've won the series at that point. And I don't think that the Wizards have any way of stopping Joel Embiid. I mean, they have some solid front court players, but they don't have anyone near the caliber of Joel Embiid. They're not going to be able to stop him. And so that's why I see that series going. Lakers-Suns, I think this is a nightmare matchup for the Suns. I mean, they were begging. I'm sure Suns fans were begging, Warriors, please pull this upset. Because they are a bad matchup for the Lakers. Or the Lakers are a bad matchup for the Suns, is what I'm trying to say. Because I don't know that DeAndre Ayton is ready to become that top-tier center that can take on AD in a series. I just don't think he is. I think he's still got a lot of potential, but he just needs more time to develop his game further, and he's not there yet. He's not ready. So I would say the Lakers are going to win that series in 5 or 6 games. I think the Suns will maybe win a couple because Chris Paul and Devin Booker could have big games, but, I mean, I just don't see them having anyone that can stop AD. And then finally, the Celtics will be taking on the Nets. The Nets. And again, I feel like this matchup, while the Celtics do have some good defenders. I mean, Jason Tatum could go against Kevin Durant. You could put Marcus Smart on Kyrie. And I guess you could put Jalen Brown. Well, no, Jalen Brown's out for the season, so never mind. This just, it does, it's not a great matchup for the Celtics, and I don't think their defense is good enough to slow down this massive Nets team. Who's, they're not massive in terms of height, but like stacked Nets team with all the star power on them. And I think this Nets will probably win the series in 5 or 6 games as well. I don't think they'll sweep. I think the Celtics could steal a game, maybe two. But I think the Nets definitely have the series in the books. So that will wrap it up for me. Thank you so much for listening to the Post Play-In Podcast. I'm Josh Engel signing off. Thanks for listening.